And our next guest really needs very little introduction here in Cook County. It's Mark Hansen. And Mark, of course, the founder of North House Folk School all those years ago. How many years ago was that, Mark, when the first class happened, I believe, down in the boathouse at Coast Guard Station?
Oh, that was 95.
95.
But that wasn't the folk school then. The first class of the folk school was the summer of 97.
Okay.
I taught two classes down in the Coast Guard Boathouse through community ed.
Oh, that's how that worked. They were kayak classes?
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of the precursor to North House. Yeah. It was an experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 97, so that makes it, your math? 16 years ago, huh?
Yeah, okay.
Wow. Time flies.
For those that are keeping track.
Yeah. Well, it is important.
It is. No,
it goes like that, you know, that time goes by and it just gets stronger and stronger. And now this weekend, I think the first time ever that you've had instructors gathering down there. North House is having one now. Of course, the weather didn't help some of the arrivals.
Yeah, we had a lot of people that had traveled distances, and so that was tough. And so we've got 20 people down there that have been instructing at North House for a short period of time and years since it started.
A variety of folks then.
Yeah, and a variety of subjects. And they're all taking classes. The instructors are taking classes. I'll be taking a blacksmithing class tomorrow for a couple of hours. And I just finished a bellows class and was able to not only teach instructors down there, but I've got an apprentice who I've been working with, and he'll be taking over the bellows class.
Oh, good, yeah.
In the for the duration.
And what was the idea behind having instructors take courses now on this weekend?
I get a chance to see how other people instruct. Mm-hmm. An opportunity to see, what the techniques are. What are the, what do you bring to the classroom?
Is that kind of the theme of the whole weekend for instructors coming here?
Yeah, Jessa and Greg and staff have wisely, focused in on how can we, assist instructors in any way. And so there's lots of discussions about how to improve our techniques, how to know what to pay attention to in the classroom, how to organize it, all these sorts of things that we can't assume that people know when they come to North House to teach. I mean, Jessa, who is the program director, does a really good job of spending time with instructors to for them to get a better understanding of how to make that period of time when they're studying a particular subject as useful to everyone as possible.
And a lot of these folks, they're very passionate about what they do, a traditional craft of, it could be a whole variety of things that they become immersed in, but they weren't necessarily ever teachers.
Correct. They were very good at what they did. They made things that worked, that functioned, that served. There's two different skills in being able to make something and then being able to convey that to other people in a way that's going to be workable. It's going to be usable. And so not everyone who, makes a good violin would necessarily a good violin instructor. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot to talk about. There's a whole lot to sort through. And it's been, a real interesting experience since day one, because I was the one that sorted through instructors, for 3-4 years back then. And it was always really interesting because so many characters came to the, came to the party. And there's some hilarious stories. Absolutely hilarious stories. And it was just all about taking it in stride. And I think we've been very, very fortunate in the way that we started that helps keep things light and keep things positive.
Mm-hmm. How was that transition for you, Mark? You've been a creator for a long time, making all sorts of different things. Traditional crafts have been on your plate for a long time. But as far as an instructor, what kinds of things did you learn along the way that you like to pass on?
Well, I think that probably the biggest thing for me in being an instructor is being prepared. When everyone comes to the class, you have the materials prepared. You need to be prepared yourself in order to enjoy the students that are coming into the classroom. And if I'm prepared, I enjoy it. Once the class starts, it's like a vacation then. If I'm not prepared, oh my word, it's my worst nightmare, and I die a thousand deaths sometimes getting ready for a class. Mm-hmm. But I think I've got a pretty good track record of being prepared when class starts, so that everyone finishes what they start out to do.
And I know you had just one class that we happened to talk about at some point this winter where you had people coming from Alaska to take this course.
Yeah, I had two people from Alaska making skis in January, and it was just a really good class.
But when people come from that far away, and it's a common thing at North House, mm-hmm. for people to travel long distances, that's another reason for them to have that great experience.
Well, we've had a lot of Alaskans come down. I remember one class, it must have been like 7-8 years ago, I got really sick just before the class, and I had this fever, and I was kind of even doing some hallucinations. And
was that because you were sick?
That's because I was sick. I was sick. And
that was that mushroom class.
Oh, yeah. And I was I was an hour late for class.
Oh yeah.
Thankfully, I had everything down there, but I was and they were all really kind, and they all made skis because I had prepared. Mm-hmm. Like I said, preparation's everything. So I could go into that really sick. I'm doing 300 mile an hour sneezes, everywhere I walked. My eyes were running, and people were asking me these questions, and my ears were plugged. It's one of those things. You're the only show. You got make it happen. And Wendy would say, "Well, buck up," and you just do it.
You can't call for a substitute.
Oh, no, you don't call for a substitute. You make it happen, yeah. and you tell everyone, you just communicate, "I'm sick as a dog, You're probably all going to get sick in here," that sort of thing. And they understand, and they work around it. And, the whole idea, I think, of being in the classroom is to enjoy oneself, to get to know the people, to make people feel comfortable. I love to make mistakes when I'm doing a demonstration because it shows them it's a learning opportunity. And the other thing is it says, well, I don't have to worry about this guy coming down on me because, the folk schools, there's no grades. There's no competition. There's no, gun pointed at your head. You're just making something because you want to make it, which is a whole other level of education in our society.
Now, that kind of brings to one of the bases of instruction at North House, and that's the lack of competitiveness in the learning mm-hmm. process. It's about learning together. What kind of things do you think do you get away from when you move away from the curve?
Well, I think you have a level playing field. For instance, when I teach a class, I say, well, this is one way of doing it. And everyone should keep a weather eye out for another way of doing it. And I always think I have a good class when I learn something from the students, each and every student. And I get to know all the students. I'll call students before they show up in Grammar A to make sure I understand what their intentions, motivations, what they're like. What are their needs for taking the class? And so you get to know people in it, and I think that makes them feel comfortable, and it releases the creativity in people, and they feel like they can accomplish it.
Non-competitive learning involves no grades, essentially. Is there still, but the motivation is there for people who took the class because they want to learn?
Well, I think a lot of people that come to North House are people that are visual learners. They're people that are very tactile. They learn through making things, and the North House is based on the Danish philosophy of learning, and that was developed back in the mid 1800s by a old Danish bishop by the name of Grundtvig. And he was a very, very interesting fan, a Gandhian figure in Danish society. And he had some very, very interesting ideas about the people that didn't have much in Danish society, which were mostly those people that lived in the rural areas. And he was a Lutheran pastor who, after his first sermon, after being ordained, preached a sermon of why is God not in the house of God? And he was immediately removed from the pulpit by, you know, very pious, you know, group of Lutheran theologians. And he struck out, and he went and he looked after he was defrocked. He went to England, and he studied the Icelandic text and the Nordic text. And he really wanted to know where he came from. He wanted to know where the origins of the thoughts were of the people that were of his nationality. And he learned a great deal. And he, one of the things that he learned was a lot about the compassion. And he had some great solutions, I think, for society back then as well as today. And he part of that was non-competitive learning, to give people a chance to expand their universe, to see different points of view. He was a pastor that said that you could not become a Christian until you became a human being. In order to become a true human being, you had to be able to understand the differences in people and enjoy the differences in people, all the different religions, the philosophies, and to be able to tolerate those differences. And he was a very, very compassionate man. Like I said, he was like a Gandhian figure in Danish history. And my grandfather was a Grundtvigian. He was a Norwegian Lutheran pastor for 40 years. And he had a big picture of the Grundtvig Church in his office. He very much tied in with it. Grundtvig was known as a happy Dane. A happy Dane was not a pious Dane. And he said, what we need to do is we need to feed people. We need to see what they need, to meet their needs, to make them feel like they're useful. And you know, one of the tenets that he really pushed on was the wisdom, the belief in the wisdom of the ordinary people, to listen to everyone, to respect the differences in people. And, you know, so what he did was he was seeing all of these people, you know, in the rural parts of Denmark that were really struggling to make a living. They never learned about mathematics or dance or theater or literature. And what he did was he introduced that. And he introduced it in a way that said, you know, what we need are, we need to give people, the common people out there, more of a reason to live. We need to give them more opportunities. And he started these folk schools, and they became widely popular. And today, Denmark has the highest education rates in the world. And it's very, very interesting how he did that. And so it's cooperative learning. It's democratic. The instructor is on the same level as students. When I teach a class, I don't say like I know more than you. No one's under the gun here. There's the joy in work. And then the other thing that I thought Grundtvig was very, very key on is the whole idea of learning is remembering, which is another key factor. I mean, he went into those Nordic and Celtic texts, the Icelandic text, and he came out of that saying, we are who we were. You know, who are your, you know, where do you come from? What are the origins of your thoughts? To backtrack and to understand what went down through the ages. And we don't do much of that in this society. We're mostly for the moment. And, you know, a lot of the people that I work really don't know a whole lot about their grandparents, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so we make these things at North Coast, we do all these things, but there's also the connections, the relationships with people and getting to know people. And if you want to learn something, if I want to learn something from my students when they come there, I ask lots of questions, and you can talk, you know, you're making something, we're making these bellows and we're, you know, but you can find out, you know, all kinds of stuff about what else they do and, you know, what are they good at and, you know, what they aren't good at, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. And you wouldn't believe the stories that people have to tell. I mean, it's just great.
Yeah. We're speaking with Mark Hansen. Mark is the founder of North House Folk School. They have a instructors gathering happening all weekend this weekend. And, Mark is here to talk a little bit about the philosophy of learning at North House. You know, you might say that as far as education is concerned, you hear that term healthy competition. That might be a contradiction in terms then, as far as a learning process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I think that, I mean, for instance, the Danish experience now is that the last kind of conversation I had with some Danish is like by the time you get to the 10th or 11th grade, you have to make some decisions. You're tested about which track you go. Are you going to university or are you going to trades? It gets competitive after that. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, it doesn't. Prior to that, the individual is respected. And I went through school in the 50s and the 60s, and everyone had to be just the same. Mm-hmm. And that's not good for everyone. I mean, we know now that there's individual differences in how people learn, and you can't push every kid through the same hole. And so, there's the competitiveness in education. I can understand it, but in terms of learning and the joy of learning, and the relationship with the instructors, the people that are disseminating the information, I think that we can learn a whole lot from the folk schools traditions where there's a joy in learning. There doesn't have to be a hammer over your head. There doesn't have to be some sort of meat grinder we have to go through. But that is about efficiency. And we're not about efficiency at North House. I mean, when I have a group of fourth graders that come in to make the bateau, I'll have a student come up to me and say, well, what do you think? And I'll say, well, what do you think? And my response is, if it looks right, it is right. and it's not about that thing that youngster's coming up. He wants, or she wants, to be affirmed. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important.
Self-esteem is something that can get lost in that curve.
Yes. And so it's a very, very interesting school. And, I was a social worker here for 25 years, and I saw a lot of people in pain, a lot of people struggling, and the thing that I was always interested in were their stories. What stories did they have? What were they good at? What did they like to do? What got their motor going? That sort of thing was so much, because you had a problem you had to deal with. But if you could find out just exactly, what makes a person tick, once they can put their finger on that, 90% of the time, they got their own stuff figured out. So anyway.
Bob, I hope he never figures out what makes me tick. That could be scary, huh?
Well, nobody else has been able to get through that long.
You're a special case, Buck.
If he's going to,
hang in there. We love you.
If he's going to, he needs to get started.
There you go. We've been speaking with Mark Hansen, and Mark is founder at North House. Busy weekend, instructors gathering down there. Want to thank you so much for taking the time out to come up and talk to us.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity, and you guys take care, and we'll talk soon.